approach the same subject that I'm going to be bringing up to you again this evening. And the reason I do that is because people come and go, and children come and go, and adults come and go. And besides that, I feel the Lord having to do it. Amen. And so I think it would be a great blessing to you. I hope that it is as we look at this passage. Traditionally, it's been the last couple of years during the month of December that I take the opportunity to teach and preach on a Christmas theme on Wednesdays, primarily because I love preaching about Christmas, but I don't get that much opportunity to. We do a lot of outreach, and we have singing, our outreach, our evangelistic outreach on Sunday evenings. We have Christmas gospel sing, and then we also at the end of the month, and then we also have the performance that we're putting on for the church on Sunday evenings. So I like to take the Wednesday evenings and just preach and teach a little bit about the Christmas season. So we're going to look here in Isaiah chapter number 14. We're going to look at a couple of verses, and verses 12 down through verse number 14. We'll read those and have a season of prayer. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse number 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Now get this, what he says. This is Satan. "I will be like the Most High God." I want us to think once again about this thought, the false spirit of Christmas. The false spirit of Christmas. Father, we come before you this evening, Father, and I pray, Lord, that you'll be a help to your people, Father. I pray, Lord, that some will be just reminded afresh and anew about the assault that we have on this time of year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior and your Son, Jesus the Christ. I pray, Father, you help us to understand that Satan is the master deceiver. So, Father, I pray you'll be a help to us and a blessing to us for those, Father, that perhaps have never heard anything like this preached or taught before. They'll keep an open mind, Father, and they'll get to the end of the way, and they'll surely say the truth is found in God's Word. So, Lord, we just love you. We thank you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Understand this evening that Satan is a master of deception. I said it in my title that Satan is the master deceiver. Satan is the master of depravity as well, and Satan is a master of disguise. It's no wonder that in most homes today, even even in a church our size, there is no doubt going to be some homes here represented at Sharon Baptist Church, and those certainly represented in the world and even Hampton City, that Jesus is going to be missing from his own birthday party. And you say, what do you mean? I simply mean this, that we celebrate the birth of our Savior December 25th, and we call it Christmas, but yet we leave the main character of the birthday celebration out of it. And I told you this, and I'll probably tell you again, that every year, that since my boys were little, since I was able to really understand really what Christmas was all about after being saved, that Diana and I, every year, she makes blueberry muffins and has a streusel on top, and boy, they're just wonderful, and they're hot. They're just really good. But we put a candle in each one, and we would sit down, and we'd light the candle, and we would sing Happy Birthday to our Savior. Because it is his day. I mean, it's not the day he was born, December 25th. I don't believe that. Most Bible scholars don't either. But understand this, the day that we have picked out to celebrate his birthday. And so where would we be, and where would I be as a father, where would I be as a pastor if I didn't celebrate the one whose birthday this holiday is all about? And so we have done that, and maybe it's something that you and your family would consider. And if you don't like blueberry muffins, maybe you'll just sing Happy Birthday to Jesus before you open your first present and just give thanks, you know. So it's no wonder that many people focus on the glitter this world has to offer, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like the glitter. I like our tree. And although, Henry, I did find a new tree for us today. I'll wait until December 26th to purchase it when it goes down to what we really could afford. Amen. I saw it today. It's 12 foot. Is that one 12 foot? 12, you praise the Lord. Amen. So you pray that there's one left in the store December 26th. We're going to go get it. Gail has told me that this one's gone. It's shot. Henry has to string lights around it every year. And so we're going to get it. We're going to get us another one. Amen. But I like the glitter. And I like the glitter. I like the Christmas trees. I like the balls. And, you know, I like the decorations we have here. But too many people really just focus on the glitter. And really they focus on the folly of Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with having fun at Christmas time. I like to go to a good party that's rightly given and, you know, rightly received. And get together with family and friends on Christmas Eve and whenever you do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But today, too many people focus on the glitter and the folly instead of the Savior. And it ought to be. That's what it's about. I probably don't need to remind you that the Bible said in First John chapter 4 and verse 11, it says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." And then we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 14, Paul writing again to that carnal church at Corinth, and he basically says that Satan is as an angel of light, or can transform himself into an angel of light. And so I think the angel of light wants to draw our attention away from the birth of our Savior, and he wants us to get involved with the glitter. He wants us to get involved with the folly. He wants us to do all that we can to not understand the real meaning of the Christmas holiday. The story that some Christians in the world tell every year is told as a truth, but really it is not a truth. And I don't believe it's just a coincidence. Satan said these words, "I will be like the Most High God." There's a spirit at Christmas time that copies the attitudes and the attributes of God. And as we go down through this, you'll remember this, that in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said that Satan is the father of all lies. So I want us to think about this false spirit at Christmas as we come down through here. Maybe the Lord would challenge your heart in this area. Notice first of all that God is omniscient, and that means that he just knows all. And let me just say, I thank God that he knows all. We pretend sometimes as men that we have all the answers, but here's the truth. Ladies, plug your ears. We don't always have all the answers, but God has all the answers, amen. He knows all. He has all the answers. He even knows the questions before we even think them, and I'm so thankful for that. But the story that's told at Christmas time to our children is that there is one who knows everything that you do. Think about it. We tell our children that Santa Claus, he knows everything that you do. And because he knows, guess what? We say, according to the song, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. You see, why do we do that? Because he knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. I submit to you this evening that that's not a coincidence. Satan said, "I will be like the Most High God." Not only is God omniscient, but to notice something else, God is omnipresent. And that means that he can be everywhere at once. Amen. I used to think, my brother and sister used to think that my mom was that way, because no matter what we were doing to get in trouble, she always knew about it, always would find out. Well, not always. I thank God for that. But most of the time she knew. That means that God can be everywhere at once. And the story told at Christmas time is this, that he can go over the whole world in just one night in a sleigh and never miss one house. In other words, they're really saying about Santa is that he could be everywhere in just one whole night in all the world. You heard him say he's quick as a flash. I thought the other night that the show Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came on, and boy, he was quick as a flash, and Santa is quick as a flash. So in other words, he's just the spirit, so to speak, of Christmas. Do you think that this is just a coincidence that they teach that he is omnipresent, he's everywhere? Satan said, "I will be like the Most High God." Thirdly, we notice that God is omnipotent. And that simply means this, that God is all power. God is all power and all powerful and has all power. And the story told at Christmas time is that he has supernatural power, that he's able to do anything. Just think about it. How can a fat old man come down a chimney? You know, just the other day, I saw on Fox News, some girl and her boyfriend got locked out of their house and tried to go down the chimney. I mean, really, what an idiot. It's not like it was a Pioneer chimney back in the day when there was no dampeners and there was no flues that only like 12 or 18 inches around. Well, I don't know, whatever they are. Listen, I can't hardly get my leg down one of those things. They got stuck down in there, you know. I don't know. I think there was more to the story. I think they just told their mom they lost their key. I think they were trying to get into the house without their parents knowing it. I don't know what was going on. But I'm just telling you, the story at Christmas time is told that Santa has some kind of supernatural power, that he can do anything that he wants to and go down through chimneys. And if that doesn't work, guess what? He can just appear through walls at homes that don't have a chimney. You know, I used to wonder that as a little boy. I mean, I was always thankful we had a chimney. But but I wondered about my friends at school who didn't have a fireplace. What are they going to do, you know? And that's just the way it is. You know, they say this, that he can bring you anything if you just believe him enough. If you'll just be a good boy, you'll just be a good girl, man, he'll bring you all kinds of stuff. And listen, all you have to do is just ask him and be good for maybe the month of December, and you're going to be in like Flynn. Kind of almost like praying to God, isn't it, when we write out the list? And listen, I'm not putting your family down if you do that. I was raised in a home that we did that, Scott, didn't we? We put out the cocoa, and we put the stockings out, you know, we played, you know, the parents played the game with us, and I'm not putting you down if you do that, but I'm telling you there's a better way that we can do it now that we know. And it's almost like we're praying to Santa. Oh, here's my list. Please give me my wish list. Children ask him, and they expect to get what they ask for. I can remember as a child that when I put on my list, you know, I expected it to be under the tree. I mean, that's just the way it was. He was all powerful. He could be anywhere he wanted. He could be everywhere all at the same time, and surely he could bring things on my list. And here's the truth. Most of the time, my parents did fulfill most of those wishes. And so we understand that Satan says this, I will be like the Most High God. I don't think that's a coincidence that Santa is supposedly to be all-powerful. And I think of something else. I think about God's dwelling place is in the north. Isaiah 14 and verse 13, the Bible says, For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is Satan again speaking. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation. Guess where the mount of the congregation is? The Bible said in Isaiah 14 and verse 13, in the sides, get this, of the north. And then in Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised to the city of our God in the mountain of holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Guess what it says after that? On the sides of the, doesn't say south, you can better believe that. It says the north, the city of the great king. You know, the Christmas story that we tell our children, people tell their children year after year is the story of Christmas is that Santa Claus, where does he live? He lives at the North Pole. Could they have chosen the South Pole? Sure, they could have. North Pole, South Pole, does it really make any difference? Well, I think some well-meaning people might say this. It's just an innocent story, Pastor. It's just a myth, a little white lie, and there isn't any harm done in telling that little white lie of where Santa Claus lives. Satan says, I will be like the Most High God. Do you think that's just a coincidence that Santa lives in the north? I don't think so. How about this? The Lord will come down from the sky. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We continue with the same thought process in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus," now here we go, "which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him go into heaven." So one day the Lord is going to come back and take us saints up with him. And then we find as the Lord is taken up into heaven, it says, "So shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go in heaven." So he went to heaven. He's going to ascend back down from heaven. And the Christmas story has this imposter coming from where does he come from? Does he come from a car that's driven on the highways and byways? No, he comes from the sky. Satan says, "I will be like the Most High God." Do you think that's just a coincidence? I don't think that it is. Something else in this story. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. In 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the Bible says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." So the story at Christmas time basically says this. The children are all excited and they're watching and they're waiting for him to come. And he comes like what? A thief in the night. When does he come? While the children are sleeping. He sneaks into the house, either down the chimney or through the walls. Satan says, "I will be like the Most High God." Do you think that's just a coincidence that Santa comes at night when everyone's sleeping, sneaking into your home? Well, there's something else that I think we need to mention. The Lord will bring his reward with him, and everybody will be rewarded for their deeds. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor." The imposter is said to bring rewards as well. Does not Santa bring rewards? If children have been good, whether it be all year or just for the month of December, doesn't he bring children good things? Think about the song, "So be good for goodness sake." They're teaching us that, you know what? That if you'll just be good, that Santa will bring you blessings. Do you think that's just a coincidence? That Santa brings you good things and we need to be good for goodness sakes? No, we need to be good for righteousness sake. That's what it's about. I don't think that that's any coincidence. How about this? The Lord has many helpers, and we could call them angelic beings or angels today. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we find these words, But to which of the angels said he at any time, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool"? And they, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So we do find that God the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has created angels to do work and minister for him. They also oftentimes minister to us, those that are heirs of his wonderful salvation. In Psalm 91, verse 11, we find these words, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." You see, the angels do the Master's bidding. Whatever God the Father, whatever his Son Jesus Christ would have him to do, they accomplish it in a quickly, speedily, and effective manner. I think the main attraction at Christmas time has many helpers. And what's he call his helpers? He calls them elves. And guess what they're doing? They're busy making toys and other things for Santa. Satan says, "I will be like the Most High." Do you think that this is just a coincidence? I don't believe so. But then notice something else. The Lord is faithful to us. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, we find these words, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Hebrews 10 and verse 23, the last part of that verse, the Bible says, for he is faithful that promised. Well, according to the Christmas, the story told at Christmas time, the imposter, how many years have you heard the story? How many years have you heard the story of the imposter? He is faithful every year, isn't he? Not one year since I was old enough to understand and know have I not heard either from somebody or some child or some television show that Santa is coming on the eve of December the 24th. Every year, guess what? He is faithful. Satan says, I will be like the Most High. Do you think that's just a coincidence? I don't believe it is. Then notice lastly this. The Lord loves everybody. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And of course, our familiar verse in John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world. Now, according to the liar, and according to the imposter, according to the devil, so does the one who comes every year at Christmas time. He loves everybody. Santa loves everybody, and he welcomes everybody and anybody to his lap. Now, after I got saved and really understood what Santa really represented as far at Christmas time, we never took our children to sit on Santa's lap anymore. We used to do it before we knew better, but once we learned God's truth, we stopped doing that. And but you know what? As we stood in sometime those long, long lines to put our child on Santa's lap and pay $29.99 for a Polaroid picture or something like that, and I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but not by very much, that, you know, not one time did Santa ever say, well, I'm sorry, you can't get on my lap today. You're the wrong race, and you're the wrong color, and you speak the wrong language, and you're not from the same economic household that I'm from. Not one time did Santa ever say that. Not one time. He welcomed everybody onto his lap. Satan says this, I will be like the Most High God. Do you think that that's a coincidence that Santa loves everybody? I don't think it was a coincidence at all. Do you think it's a coincidence that many of the attributes of God are seen in this man in the red suit at Christmas time? I don't believe it is. I think even his suit, they could have chose any color under the rainbow to make his suit. But what did they choose? They chose red and they chose white. No doubt, red, copying the crimson shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for our sin. And I think about the purity and the righteousness of the color white. They were going to be dressed in robes of righteousness. So let me ask you this question. Who do your children or who do your grandchildren thank at Christmas? Do they thank God? Do they thank the Lord who enabled them to give the presents to them? Or do they thank the imposter, Santa? Years ago, shortly after I received Christ as my own personal Savior, my pastor asked me this question because we were just newbie Christians and we still had a lot of the world in us. And you know, still today we have more than I care to have and like to have less. I like to think I have less today than I did back then. But the truth of the matter is we still celebrated Christmas and we still had that first Christmas after our salvation. We only were saved for a month or two. And my pastor was very kind to us. He wasn't the moment I got saved, and I know that I still smoked, and I know he could smell it on me when I came to church, because only one who can't smell it is you. Everyone else knows you smoke. And you know, he could have, you know, pointed his finger and laid the law down. He let God work in my heart. And you know, we only were saved, I was Dinah was saved for just October, November, then December, and I didn't get saved until 2 years later, but I was trying to live right. And you know what? And so my pastor said this. This is how he put it to me. He said, Brother Dave, he said, why do you want to to give a made-up fat man all the glory for the breast presents you give your children. If you think about it, right? Who gives the best present? When I was growing up, I can just look back to me. When I was growing up, guess what? Santa bought the bicycles. He bought the train sets. He bought the sleds. He bought all the good stuff. The hockey game. Remember the hockey game, Scott? Man, me and my brother used to, the little tabletop hockey thing. Man, we used to tear that thing up. You know who brought that? It wasn't my mom or dad. It was Santa. And he said, David, why do you want to give a made-up fat man all the credit for all the best gifts you give your children? And I was just carnal enough and fleshy enough to say, you're right, that's stupid. I want them to know that Daddy gave it to him. Mommy gave it to him, amen. And so I want them to know that we loved them enough to sacrifice in order to give them these gifts. I think about James 1 and verse 17 as we close in just a minute. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Is it a coincidence that the same letters that spell Satan also spell Santa? I don't believe it's a coincidence. See, it all depends where you put the letter N at. That makes the difference, whether it's Satan or Santa. Depends where you put the letter N, where you put the name of Jesus at. It all depends where you put the night he was born at. It all depends where you put the nativity at in your Christmas celebration. It all depends where you put the one that the Bible called the Nazarene. It all depends where you put the need for the Savior at. And lastly, it depends where you put the new birth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time of looking at this thought of the false spirit of Christmas. And Father, surely it could be said, and it's still true, that even this pastor was raised up in a home that allowed celebrated Christmas with all the worldly passion that the world had to offer. And we put out the chocolate and the cookies, and we hung our stockings for Santa to fill, and we did all those things. And it could truly be said at the end of our days that we didn't turn out to be a warped, perverted kind of person. But Father, now that we know the truth of God's word, now we understand truly about this false spirit of Christmas and about Satan being the master deceiver, Father, I pray that your children, under the hearing of and teaching of your word this year, would make a difference in their home. Father, a white lie is still a lie, and there really is no such thing as a white lie. They're all lies. God, help us not even to lie to our children. Help us to teach them the truth, Father, that all the good gifts come down from the Father up above. And He'll use their mom and dad and their love for their children to provide them with nice gifts oftentimes and nice things at Christmas. Help us, Father, to be firm in the understanding of whose birthday we are truly celebrating. And Father, we give gifts to everybody, but what kind of gift do we give to Jesus? Oh, Father, may those thoughts ponder our hearts and minds during this Christmas season. And Father, I pray that you would receive honor and glory. And may the false spirit of Christmas, may Satan, the master deceiver, Father, may not gain victory even one slightest bit in our homes and our houses according to what your will is. So, Father, we love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.